الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, the famous Tabi'i Al-Qaba, he says, I came to the Masjid in Damascus and I raised my hands in dua, being a foreigner and a stranger to the place. So I read this words in my dua: Allahumma anis wahshati warham ghurbati. Allah Ta'ala, I am a stranger, so make my stay here comfortable, that I become familiar with the environment, I become familiar with the place, I become familiar with the people, and to the extent that I will become familiar with the place, the environment and the people, my stay will be comfortable. But if I'm not familiar with the place, not with the people, not with the environment, then no matter what I have, I will not feel comfortable. So these people, they had asked, and they had asked for the right things, the better things in life. Allahumma anis wahshati warham ghurbati. What makes you comfortable is the environment, right type of environment, right type of people, selection of friends, it's all right. So your living and your staying also is right. And one of the things that was quite common in all the pious of the past is they will make this dua, وَيَسِّرْ لِي جَلِيسًا صَالِحًا. Oh Allah Ta'ala, what I am desperately in need of is a right companion. Because everything else, we can make some adjustments. But if it is not the right companion, I don't have the right person to guide me, then I will go completely off the mark. I may not even realize it. And it may be just nearing, approaching the time of me leaving the world. Then I may come to my senses that I've been on the wrong track. Now I come to my senses. So then it's too late. It's too late to undo things. Uqba ibn Abi Ma'id, who was one of the philanthropists of Makkah Mukarramah, his properties used to extend from Makkah right to the Taif. His yearly revenue, his income yearly, was about 12 billion yearly. And he had such farms and orchards that throughout the year, so extensive and such distant lands, throughout the year, his farms would be reaping some fruit or the other. Because if it's winter here, there's summer there, and spring in the next place. So right throughout, he's getting something. Extremely wealthy. So he had just returned, and according to his routine, when he would come back to his hometown, he would host a big invitation, big dawat. All the prominent people of Makkah Mukarramah, he would invite. So he called amongst the people that he had invited was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Nabi some main concern now was to move people towards Jannat. They're going towards polytheism, idolatry, and they will get totally lost. So the Nabi can't see this. People going to Jahannam, he can't see it. It's too much for him. On the one end, Allah makes him Ra'ufur Rahim. He is very compassionate. is very kind, extremely compassionate and kind. And then when he sees someone going off, actually he can see him going into the fire, then it becomes too difficult for him to tolerate this. So when Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayth had extended the invitation, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Alright, I'm prepared to come to your place, but are you prepared to accept my invitation?" My invitation is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So Uqbah accepted the invitation, accepted Islam. In the meanwhile, the hierarchy of Makkah Mukarramah got to know that Uqbah has accepted Islam. Now he is amongst the elite people, the influential people, and people generally, they follow the ones that are influential. Affluent or the influential, this is how they follow. Three classes of people generally people will follow. One is the educated class, one is the influential class, and one is the affluent class. Generally people will follow them, they'll take the cue from them. Whatever they are doing, they will do it. Then they will feel, well, this must be right for this type of intelligentsia to accept. If it was wrong, then they wouldn't have accepted it. They're accepting it, so therefore it is right. Now, Uqbah accepts Islam. When he accepts Islam, so Abu Jahl hears about it and is very upset about it. Because he knows what is going to be the future. That one after the other, all the prominent people will accept Islam and then they will have the majority. So he is deliberating now, that what do I do under the circumstance, what do I do? So he pulled up his face, went up to Uqbah, and he says to him, that I think your coffers are all going down. We need to make a collection for you. How come? Oh, you are joining up with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seems like everything is in a constraint. So you are going out to him, going out towards him, so that he can accumulate some wealth for you. So now, his idea, his whole intention was to incite, you see. So you get that class of people in the public who will incite, instigate. And there are those that will become instigated as well. They don't realize that it's a plan. It's an agenda that someone is driving somewhere. Sometimes it is the media, where the media will draw a picture of a terrorist. So they'll keep talking about a terrorist, keep talking about it. Then if you hear of a bomb blast, then natural the mind will come to a Muslim. Muslim must have done it. Then after a month, they will say, no, you know what, we made a mistake. It wasn't the Muslim that was behind it. It was a white person that went up to the 55th floor and he shot. But perhaps he's got some links with the terrorists. Still, they will try and cover the tracks. You know. So, it is a media mesmerizing the mind. And then there are people that are gullible, they will accept whatever they say. They will not use their brains, won't understand, won't try to reason. Whatever the media is going to go with, whatever they say, they will go with it. So Abu Jahl understands how to work a mind, psychology of a person, how it works. So Uqbah really became spurred up. He was always instigated and he's worked up already. He says, you think I need Muhammad? I don't need him. I don't think I need his coppers. I don't need his coppers. So no, I'm not going to believe you until you don't go up, reject him and spit on his face. So he did exactly, just one statement was enough to turn the person around. See, companionship, association, and what he does to a person. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about Uqbah on the day of Qiyamah. يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. And when a person is in remorse, then he bites his teeth, you know. He bites himself. And if the remorse and the regret is a little bit more intense, then he begins to bite his fingers off. But if it's even more intense, and he can't contain himself, he'll bite and he'll bite and keep on biting. So the Quran Sharif says, يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. He'll bite off his hand actually. You know, that remorse and that regret is so deep. Because the remorse and the regret of this world is such that if there is a failure or a mishap, you still get a chance, alright? You failed, it didn't work out, you start something else and then it works out for you. Child been to school, he failed in matric, he is distressed about the whole thing, he is depressed about the whole thing, but it's not the end of the world, he can still repeat the year. he can still write the supplementary examinations and get through. So there is a hope for him. But when you come up on the day of Qiyamah, there is no hope. That is the final decision. There is no way you are going to reverse this process. That's the one and the last. That resurrection and that accountability is the first great accountability and the last. No cancellations, no changes in that. Man will see on that day when he's summoned before Allah Ta'ala, and then just to get himself out of it, lose any type of plan to just get himself out of it. So we say to Allah Ta'ala, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, I'm not prepared to accept any witness against me. Any person that is standing as witness against me, I'm not prepared. Oh Allah Ta'ala, haven't you secured me complete justice? What do you want?" Well, the witness must be from within me. He's attaching with something that is impossible. Then when I am in control, I am in command, then I will speak in my favor. I will not speak against me, obviously. So he is making this demand against Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is Alimun Qadir, he is powerful. What is impossible for Allah Ta'ala? Everything is within him. So he throws out a challenge against Allah Ta'ala. Until and unless the witness is not from within me, I'm not prepared to accept these people's witnesses against me. But no matter what they say, I'm not prepared. So, on that day then what will happen is Allah Ta'ala will put a zip onto his lips and تُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُوا أَرْجُلُهُمْ. In Surah Yasin we recite this, right? But strangely, when you read Surah Yasin, all we read for is either for a smooth day, right? And someone else will read Surah Yasin for a smooth death, right? And definitely it has the virtue, it will give you a smooth day. And inshallah it will give you a smooth death as well. But Surah Yasin is not only about a smooth day and a smooth death. It's got a magnanimous lesson it's got. The whole Surah Yasin is covered about this life, the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. Admire His beauty, His oneness, reflect about His greatness, see the phases of life, then how you end life, then what is the first phase, what is the second phase of your life after death. فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ تَوْسِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. As you are struck with death now, first encounter with death, what happens then? Then you're asking Allah Ta'ala, you're asking the Malaika that have come to take away your soul, well, give me a chance. I may just write out a bequest. Something I need to settle. Give me a few moments and I can just write it down. And Allah Pak will say, no. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When your term has expired, you don't get 1 second. You're not taken away before time, and you don't get an extension. Exactly as it is destined, you are going, you have to leave. So no, Allah, I have to settle this, and I have to attend to this, and my son is getting married tomorrow, Allah, please let me attend that. Nothing doing. The time has been destined, when the destined time comes, then there is no extension, no matter who you are. And Malakul Maut, he's so independent, he's so independent. The king of the time and the pauper of the day, he will not relent for the king, nor will he feel sorry for the pauper. When the time has been destined, he does his work. So man now begins to make demands against Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I need a proof and a proof from within myself for me to accept this judgment against me. Allah is not prepared to accept the judgment. And Allah Ta'ala, haven't you assured me, haven't you guaranteed me that you're going to be just in taking my accounts? Yes, it's going to be total transparency, and there's going to be only justice. لا تظلم نفس شيئا. So there's not going to be any injustice today. Absolute justice is going to prevail. Now, when Allah Ta'ala seals it up, then the limbs begin to speak. تُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ. Your hands begin to speak, your feet begins to see. Exactly, they will say what you've been doing. It becomes so clear, so vivid, like a videotape playing before you. On this day, this was the crime that you had committed with this person at this time. Can you reject it? If a videotape is playing right before you, this was the wrong at this time with this person, and this was the place that it happened, this was the nature of the crime. So
Can you reject that? Can't reject. It's going to become so vivid, so clear. تَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ Your hands are going to be speaking out. Your feet is going to be speaking out against yourself. Therefore, the hadith says, when you start off the morning, the day cries out, the morning cries out to you and says to you, that this day is an extension to your life. And remember, whatever you can acquire within me, acquire within this day. Whatever good you can acquire, whatever bad you can refrain from, acquire it, get it, accumulate your good. Because remember, after I have gone, I'll never come back again. This day is one day and the last day. I come and never to be repeated. The Fajr namaz that we read this morning, can we repeat it? Zuhr namaz that we performed, anybody cries and cries and cries till he dies, can he ever get the zuhr that was done today? Can't. So you get one chance, and that's the last chance, there's no repetition. So that day cries out and tells mankind, mankind here, listen to me. I've come today, I've come to you, and this is one chance I've given, I'm affording you. Whatever you can accumulate, you accumulate. Because when I'm gone, I'll never return. I'll never come back this way again. And so does the night. The night says the same thing, same message. I've come, and this is an opportunity of a lifetime, and you need to exploit me, you exploit me. Because once I'm gone, and you haven't exploited me, you haven't taken the advantage of me, then that day is gone. You're not going to repeat this again. Never to be repeated. One person is passing on qabr, you know. So like his routine, when you're going to the qabristan, you make salam, salamu alaikum, diyara qawmi mu'mineen, wa inna insha'allahu bikum lalahikoon, yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum. It's a masnoon dua that we recite when we're visiting the qabristan. So he's visiting the qabristan, and then he read something and he passed the sawab to the mayyat, to the deceased. Now some people are very curious, they're anxious to know, right? I've read this, I want to know it's gone or not. Like you're sending an EFT, you know. So you'll see, they received it or not. So people like that, they're very curious. And Allah Ta'ala treats his servants differently. Someone, he treats him in one way, somebody treats him in a different way. And alright, this man is grumbling, let me show it to him. Man is talking like, let me show it to him, let me do it. All are children of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala loves all. And he treats everybody differently. So you can't ask why he's been treated in that way, why you've been treated in a different way. You've asked for something, you've got it. You've got a business. That person doesn't have a business. So Allah Ta'ala is blessing him in some other way. You are asked for children. Allah Ta'ala bless you with children. He doesn't have children. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him in a different way. So you cannot ask why Allah Ta'ala has blessed him in a different way. And why has he not blessed you in that way? That is the prerogative of Allah Ta'ala. He will give. أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ Are you in charge of distributing the favors of Allah Ta'ala? We distribute even livelihood. We are in charge. We will give it. Someone will give more, someone will give less. Someone will give some favor, will give the other person some other favor. But everybody is given. That is why you'll find, when you leave the business, you're quite happy, right? But many a times, I would say 9 out of 10 times, that menial worker in your shop is happier than you. Don't you see that? He's happier than you. And perhaps the quality of food that's eating, maybe 1/10 of what you are eating, right? 1/10. But the enjoyment, the distribution of that enjoyment is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So He gave you wealth, He gave him happiness. He gave you material prosperity. He gave him something, some spiritual prosperity is given him. So everybody belongs to Allah Ta'ala. It's not only we. We're not a selected class that all the good and the favor must be just restricted to us. No. The distribution is His. So this person passed the Qabristan and he recited something and he passed the Sawab on. Then in his quiet moments he says, Allah, you know, I passed these things on to this deceased now. I want to know now, he's reached them or didn't reach them, what's their take, what's their position, how they've received it. So anyway, Allah allows him to see one of the deceased. So, well, whatever you sent, it's already been transferred, we have received it, Jazakallah for that. What you have sent, already been received, and Jazakallah for sending that. But I got a request, or the mayyat is sending him, I got a request with you. So what's your request? You see, I died as a Muslim, alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to Allah Ta'ala that I died as a Muslim. So there were some things I had to do, some choices thrown out to me. So I chose to recite the Quran Sharif whilst I'm sitting in the confines of the grave. It doesn't mean that you're in the confines of the grave, you're restricted, your movement is restricted, no. The qabr widens up, right, for the believer, it broadens out. It's a different realm, right? Grave is just a name. It's not the piece of earth that we are in. Qabr is something else, a different realm altogether. But for our ease and purposes, we say grave. But otherwise, it's a realm on its own. It's so spacious, that the relationship of the qabr to this world is like the mother's womb to the outside of this womb, right? Imagine the womb, right? And how constrained you are. And then out of the womb, expansion, extension, space. Once you're out, you want to go back. You don't want to go back because, hey, this is best. So that mist, that believer that has come out of this whole mess, when he's out and he sees the spaciousness, he says, I don't want to go back to this mess. Like you will say, but within the womb, once you're in the womb, you thought, hey, there isn't a more comfortable place. I got no rent to pay, as though that person, the child in the womb is saying, I got no rent to pay. Only Allah Ta'ala to obey. And more than 3 meals a day. So what else he wants? I got everything. But the moment he comes out of the womb, and he says, hey, so many things. So many more things. More than what the eyes can meet. And what more than the brains can perceive. Far beyond him. So this person is discussing, you know, how's it there, you know. So he says, no, it's wonderful, no problem, alhamdulillah. But anything can I do for you? Now this person is asking the maid, can I do anything for you? He says, yeah, I got one request. My request is this. See, I've been here for so many years, 5 years or something, and I've done so many thousand khatams. The khatam is just for enjoyment, because we go through a tremendous amount of enjoyment. And one of the ways to enjoy is to recite Quran Sharif. Right? Like, you know, we take coke or something for enjoyment and for luxury. We go around traveling and all that for luxury and comfort. So one of the ways of the comfort in the hereafter is the recitation of the Quran Sharif. And the happiness is to a different level. Right? Like you see, children nowadays, unfortunately, they are with the technology, right? And they're so absorbed in it, they become oblivious to the environment, what's happening in the world. They were talking to you, but they're so engrossed, so deep into that, they don't know what's going on. That means they're getting so much of satisfaction within that. So, like they're getting the satisfaction that something is man-made, then what is Allah Pak's made, what type of enjoyment they will go through? So this person says, see, I'm here in the grave for so many years, and I've recited so many Quran Sharif. And what I want to bargain with you see, you came to the grave, and you read some Subhanallah, some Kulwallah, and you pass the sawab, right? So, read a few more Subhanallahs and Alhamdulillah, whatever else. And I want a barter. The Subhanallah that you will recite, you pass it on to me. The Quran Sharif that I have recited for all these years, I want to pass it on to you. Now, this type of bargaining is carrying on. This man is a businessman. And businessman sees that there must be a catch in this. It's coming at such a cheap price. So many Qurans for a few Subhanallahs and few Yaseens, you know. And he wants to make this type of a bargain. There must be a catch in this. What's the catch? Then he went and deliberated. He thought about it. He asked someone. He said, you see, what you do in the hereafter, beyond death, there's no reward for that. The reward is only for this life, until you hit the grave. Whatever you are doing, there's a reward for that. Beyond death, there's no reward. You're doing it just for satisfaction. You're not doing it as a rewarding deed. A deed that's going to bring you any rewards. One person went to the Qabristan. So, he's reciting, like I said, normal, you know, you recite something and you pass on to the. So he also asked Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, show me now, that I pass this deeds to the deceased now. How did they receive it? Is it received or not? So, Allah Pak showed him, alright, this is what you recited. And look at the deceased. Everybody is coming to take his share. You're like in a big night, you are distributing a chocolate Kit Kat, right? So everybody will come and receive it. And I think even all of us you have a shop of sweets, but that what is being distributed in the masjid on that day will all be very eager to accept it. What's the reason is that? Whether it's free of fees, free or because it's distributed on that night, everybody will be looking forward to that, right? So he says that when I recited and I passed it on, then everybody came to receive their share. But I saw an old chacha, he is sitting, relaxing on one side, he's not bothered, no worry in the world. I can see he's a believer, he's happy, but he's not concerned about this distribution of mine. So I asked the chacha, "Bhai, what's your problem? Everybody else is so anxious, and they're taking you to so much of zeal, and you are so independent. What are you showing an attitude here?" So he said, "No, that's a mistake, it's not that." He said, "What's the problem?" He said, "You see, I made my child a hafiz, right? And I made an agreement with him that every day of your life, you will recite one Quran Sharif and credit me with the sawab. That's my agreement with you. I'm making hafiz, I'm investing in you, and this I must return the investment, that every day of your life, you will pass on one khatam to me." So, all right. So your son is reciting Quran every day and passing it on. He said, "Yes." "Any particulars of your son? Can I locate him?" He said, "Yeah. That street, you'll find him. This is the type of business he's doing. He's selling some type of sweetmeats. You'll find him on this street here. This is the name." So morning came. He located the place. Saw that person packing all that sweetmeats, whatever. But his tongue is just engaged. He is busy, occupied. See this time. You know, he spoke about time. The day, says, calls out, "I've come. It's a first opportunity and a last opportunity. You're not going to get this. There's not going to be a repeat in this. Exploit me and exploit me to the best." So the youngster is thinking, "Now why should I waste this moment? I'm doing my business. But that doesn't mean I mustn't take the name of Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to the masjid from my work or from my home. So it doesn't mean now that I mustn't take the name of Allah Ta'ala. It's not haram for me to take the name of Allah Ta'ala. It's not faraz for me to listen to the news. It's not faraz for me to listen to any nazam and all that. Yes, it is my duty to take the name of Allah Ta'ala. That's my duty. So, from my work to the masjid, or from my home to the masjid, or from the masjid back home, I can see some La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah." The hadith says, absolute zikr, La ilaha illallah. Best zikr, the best form of remembering Allah Ta'ala is to recite La ilaha illallah. Imagine, La ilaha is such a powerful thing. When a child is born, we sing La ilaha illallah, azan, and we're ending up the azan with La ilaha illallah, right? That's the first thing that is entering the ear of the child as he's born. And when a person is leaving the world, what do we say? La ilaha illallah. So there must be something magnificent about La ilaha illallah. That's the first word that he is prompted to that person that is coming in. And that's the last word that he is suggested to the person that is leaving. There must be something very magnificent about this. The hadith says, person, 100 years he lived, right? And he lived in kufr and disbelief. But one time, just once, after 100 years, he was remorseful. And he recited La ilaha illallah with all the sincerity. But one La ilaha illallah would demolish all that 100 years. Everything gone. So the La ilaha is so powerful. Now we don't understand. We can't see it. So we have become such now. We only believe what we can see. But really we're supposed to be believing what the Quran Sharif says. What Nabi Sam says, we're supposed to be believing in that. But one La ilaha illallah, but do it sincerely. Do it with your heart. Do it for Allah Ta'ala. Absolute sincerity. You see, it smashes out all the evil. So, he locates the person, finds out the name and all that. Goes up to the person. "What's your name? But why are you asking?" "I just want to know, what do you do?" "No, but why are you asking? What are you reciting?" "I read one Quran Sharif every day." But why do you ask?" "So, no. This is what happened. I spoke to your father that is in the grave, and this is what he told me about you, that you're reciting every day one Quran Sharif. So I just came to verify the information, and I verified the information." All right, everything is clear. The dream came true. After a year or so, he had to come past the same way. Again, according to his routine, went to the Qabristan. Right, his visiting of the Qabristan, it's a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's a great thing. It reminds you that tomorrow you'll be there. Today you are walking over that person. Tomorrow someone will be walking over you. Today that person is totally helpless. Tomorrow you'll be totally helpless. Today you buried someone else that was so mighty, so popular, so great, so influential. Tomorrow, with all your might, all your greatness, all your popularity, and you are no more. So it's a reminder. More than anything else, like I say, Surah Yasin is what a magnificent content. Supposed to be looking at the content. What is the message? So this grave also, it's a reminder. It teaches. It's a teacher. But go there not only that Kulwala came out. No. That is also a requirement. But the greater duty is to ponder. Right, this person here we buried just now. Oh, he's here. And what a beautiful person he was. But where is he now today? What's happened to him? What an uncertain thing death is. What is an uncertain thing? So anyway, everything said and done. After a year, he goes back the same way. He recites his Quran Sharif, Zikr, whatever, passes on the sawab. Again, he asks Allah Ta'ala, I want to see what's going on. Now all those people that came to receive their shares, amongst all of them, this person also was there. That man was showing attitude first. Now he said, I eat my share as well. So, Chacha, what happened now? Last time I came this way, that you didn't need my sawab and all that. Today you are coming also. So, yes, my child is no more, unfortunately. The last time you came, he was around. Now he's no more. To verify the dream, he went this year, he passed away. A couple of days back, he passed away. Now, there's no one to pass on the credit to me. So I need to come. So anyway, we're talking about that as answerability and accountability in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. What a sight it is. What a sight. لا تنفع شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون. See the first, how beautiful it's for it, right? Ya laytani lam uta kitabiya wa lam adri ma hisabiya ya laytaha kanatil qadiya. One who's got his book of deeds, his report, so as to say, he's got his report in the left. So what he says? Ma aghna anni maliya halaka anni sultaniya. There's two things that you depend upon. Any person, he relies on two things, right? On his material might, material strength. Halaka anni sultaniya, and his public reputation. His reputation, his social standing amongst people, how he stands, right? How people hold him in the type of respect that they hold him. So these are two things that people glorify. One is his material strength, one is social standing. You know, what might he's got. Your position, how people respect you. So these are the two things that people boast about and they gloat about. I got material, I got a position, I got might. So on that day, before Allah Ta'ala, that wealth doesn't work, that position is not recognized. Say, I'm so and so. We got nothing to do with that. It doesn't concern us. What you got, it doesn't concern us. In India, you get these birds, you know, vultures, when you're studying. So you see, slightly out of the town, because the meat in India is cut today and distributed today. So at that time, there was no fridges when we were studying. No. So all the entrails and all that is outside the town. Then within minutes, you'll find that the vultures are there, and they're all taking their shares and going away, right? So the vultures have a system. It's nice to see sometimes birds and how their behavior is. So one vulture will say something, and all the vultures will repeat in chorus. But this is the start of it. All will. So what they say, Allah Pak knows what they say. That the first one says, you know what? Pidaram Sultan. You know, my father, yeah, he was a king. We get together, so we have to boast about something. You know, I got this contact, or my father was like this, my grandfather was like this. So somehow or the other, I need to boast to people. I need to show you and impress upon you about myself, or my father, or something of myself I need to impress. So what he says, you know, my father, Pidaram Sultan Bud, my father the king. So now the rest of the vultures, they cry in chorus, Murache, Turache, Murache, Turache. So what? Father is good, good luck to him. So how does it affect us? So no matter what standing you got, what position you got, that doesn't hold any water on the day of Qiyamah. No matter who you are, what you are, what's your descent, what's your family lineage like, what was your power like, nothing, absolutely nothing. You are the same. Like any other person of the earth, you are exactly the same, whether it's a pauper or the king, whoever it is, you are exactly the same. Now, a person, his own limbs begin to talk out against him. So he tells his king, his limbs, whatever I have been doing, all the luxury, all the comfort, was for your comfort. Sometimes for the comfort of the eye, and I was looking at wrong things. For the comfort of the ear, I was listening to the wrong things, right? For the comfort of the body, I was going to wrong places, right? But it was for your comfort, فَأَنْ كُنَّ كُنَّ أُنَادِلْ فَأَنْ كُنَّ كُنْتُ أُنَادِلْ. It was because of your luxury that I was doing all these things. Now, you have the decency of then not recognizing the comfort that I passed on to you and witnessing against me. سُحْكَنْ لَكُنْ. Get away from here. I was doing all this for your luxury. And today now, you are bearing and observing witnesses against me, witness against me. Whereas I did all this for your sake. For who I did this? For your luxury, for the eyes, for the ear, for the tongue, for the body. I didn't been doing all this for your sake. And today now, this is how you return the favor. سُحْكَنْ لَكُنْ. Get away from me. See, the day of Qiyamah, it's a different thing. So what you're getting at, different somewhere, So what we're talking about, that this Sahabi, this Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ith, and he complains, Now he's dead and he's gone. Now he knows that you can't reverse the whole cycle. I think he's gone once, you get a once-off chance, and that's the last chance. Like life is one chance, right? Youth is one chance. After that, you're 70, 80 years of age, and you want to get youth again, do you get it? Do you ever hear that a person was 70, 80, and he was reversed to 17? Can't. Once off. One time, first time and last time. You don't get it. You don't get a second chance. Life is a great teacher. It's just that we don't use our minds. So, he's going to be biting his head. And he says, لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. Had I just kept the Rasul as my friend, had I kept the Rasul as my friend, and forgotten this stupid person, madman, he led me astray. Abu Jahl, he led me astray. The Rasul was taking me to Jannat, and just because of my pride, I got instigated, I got carried away, and I left the hand of the Nabi, I went on to this person, where he's brought me to. But then it's too late. So this last part of the dua is, وَيَسِّرْ لِي جَلِيسًا صَالِحًا. Allah Ta'ala grant me a good friend. So to have to be online, to be online, to have a direction in life, what this hadith is showing us, that you definitely need to have a guide, someone. Because everybody is going to give you his 2 cents, everybody is going to give you his 5 cents or 2 cents, and you're going to do this one day, next day you're going to do something else, third day you're going to do something else. You will be in a state of confusion. Because sometimes you're trying to work out something here, and then you are speculating this, you're guessing here, let me do this. It's all speculation, guesswork. And Allah doesn't want this. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِ. Don't go behind guesswork. Do something with a direction. And the direction, obviously, you need a director. A plane now, it needs to go in a direction, right? It doesn't need to go in circles. Right? We need to go, imagine the pilot is taking you in circles, you need to go for Umrah. He's taking you in circles, you'll enjoy it. But he's moving. We want a movement, we want to reach to a destination. So, you're going to listen to everybody, they're going to take you in circles. He'll do this, he'll do this. So the right thing is the pilot, the one that has seen the path from the beginning to the end. He's shown it, he's seen it himself. He's in it himself. He knows the path. And he's got an obsession for the path. He's got an obsession and he knows how to take you from the beginning to the end. Hold on to his hand, meet him now and then, and he will guide, he'll keep guiding you. He'll keep keeping you online. Provided that person is Allah conscious, he is disinterested in the dunya, he's not interested in your wealth, rather he's interested on the path. He wants to take you on the path. That is an obsession. He wants to take you to Allah Ta'ala. So when you find a person that has seen the path, who knows, disinterested in the world, interested in taking you to Jannah, hold on to him and move on. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq in that. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana salabta anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه